I had a certain perception about life that a majority of Christians actually have. They had then and they still have today. That when things did not work out the way I wanted them to work out, when I applied for a visa and got a rejection, when I approached a girl and she said no, when I prayed before an exam and things did not work out the way I wanted them to, it was easy to come up with the answer, it's God's will. Huh? And there's a majority of the church that has taken it like that, that somehow the God who sits in majesty and glory is comfortable with failure. Huh? That somehow he accepts it and orchestrates it so that we can be where we are, looked down on, looking depressed, and thinking that that's exactly where he wants us to be. But if you look through the scriptures and you look through the God that I was introduced to in the Bible, it says he's able to do exceeding abundantly, far above all you could ever. You see, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, the Bible says. To give you a hope and a future. Another version says an expected end. And so when I encountered that kind of mindset, the way I used to think before it began to change. It is not the will of God for you to fail. Not the will of God for you to be poor, broke. It is not the will of God. But I'm going to explain to you why certain things happen the way they do. And so I used to think that was the case. I used to think like that, maybe I'm kicking against the pricks. You know, I'm trying to fight God when he wants me to remain down here. That's the mindset I used to have. Until I came to an understanding that there is a law in the spirit that I introduced to you some time back that says that the heavens, even the highest heavens, belong to God. The earth has he given to the children of men. And so I began to realize that a majority of things that happen in our life, a majority of them, we actually have control over. There's a certain section of things that we do not, but a majority of things we can actually control, and we can actually decide our environment and decide our destination. Because remember I told you, God is not a God of fate. Fate meaning you have no choice. He's a God of destiny. Destiny you choose. Okay? And so I began to realize that we have a certain control element about our lives, that we can decide certain things. For example, there are things about your life you cannot decide. You can't decide when you're born. You. You can't decide when you're born. You can't decide your birth parents. You don't decide that. Contrary to common belief, you also don't decide your gender. Huh? Praise the Lord. Your gender is chosen before the foundations of the earth and is perfect for your purpose. So even that, you do not decide. But there are things that are within the confines of your control. Things that if you decide not to take over and manipulate yourself, God can stand by and watch them happen. And I'm telling you, for example, as much as you can't control when you are born, you can influence when you die. Because remember when I told you a fool can die before his time? Just nullify being a fool. You see? And you won't die before your time. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. You shall have long life. So there are aspects by which you can prolong your life here on earth. It is actually in your control. Praise the Lord. There are things that fall within the confines of your control, a majority of which are many things in your life. Now, I began to realize that God, by divine law, gave man control over his own environment. So, whatever man thinks his environment should be, that is what it will be. Alright? In essence, man is like a God to his own environment. Praise the Lord. And I began to realize, as I'm going to show you here, that there are ways, if you don't like what is manifesting in your life, there are ways to grow and change things just by pure will. Huh? You're with me? We're on the same wavelength. Eh? That if you don't like what you see, or if you like what you see, eh, there's a way to maintain it or to change it. There is a way to change certain manifestations. It's in the hand of you. That to some level, you have a control over your environment. Now, at a certain point, I'll explain that there are times a corporate environment can influence your personal environment. Okay? So, for example, the environment over this country can affect certain places that you can go into in the spirit. So sometimes you need the change of the environment, the atmosphere over a specific area to walk into certain things. So sometimes you need, and I'm just giving this as an example, you need to relocate. Okay? For certain things to break through. But predominantly, you that is sitting here, you that thinks you know only 1, 2, 3 scriptures, or you who thinks you know a lot of scriptures, eh? There is a way you can be able to manipulate your environment and submit things to you. Praise the living God. Eh? And I'm going to show you 3 things. I'll touch maybe 2 and leave 1 for another day. But what manifests in the world of a man cannot be separated from him. Isaiah chapter 45:9. It says, "Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?' Does your work say, 'He has no hands?'" Now what this scripture is saying is that, in summary, that the clay cannot say to the potter, "What is this?" In other words, the manifestation in your life cannot disassociate itself from you. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Eh? There are things in your life that are the way they are simply because they came from you, even consciously or unconsciously. And that should be a good thing, because if I'm the source of something, that means I can change it. Praise the Lord. Eh? And so, the first place of manifestations, you understand this, and I'm going to touch this briefly, huh? That if you look around the world, you'd realize that it's possible to have success without God. Because there are many non-believers, atheists, out there who are succeeding. You could be applying for a job with your fellow non-believer. Eh? Or that's for people out there. Here, they're not fellow non-believers. Eh? A person could be applying for a job and they don't believe in God. And they get the job while you, the believer who was praying the whole night for the job, don't get it. And there's a mystery around that. The truth is that God orchestrated things in such a way that it is possible to a certain degree for a man to determine the extent to which he can go into things without God. And that is why it is possible for people who do not acknowledge him as Lord to have what you would call success and prosperity. But even that success and prosperity has certain limits. Okay? Now, when you want to manifest something on the face of the earth, the first thing that happens, the first place, the first realm of manifestation is the realm that happens within the confines of the heart. Now, I need you to understand that I realized very early that any form of manifestation on this earth, the heart is at the center of it. Any form of manifestation, the heart is at the center of it. Now, if it is, and when I say heart, I'm not talking about the pumping thing. Eh? I'm talking about the seat of your identity, the seat of who you are inside. That is at the heart of everything that manifests. Which brings me to that first realm. The scripture that is the source of destiny, that there is nothing that any man can live on this earth that in which this scripture does not play out. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It doesn't say as a man thinketh if he's born again. You understand? The rule is, as long as you're a man, made a descendant of Adam and Eve, as long as you think in your heart, so are you. Now, what that is saying is that there is a function of the heart that creates. Now, it's important that you understand, because you might think you know this, but if you don't like what's in your life, then you need to listen again. There is a function of your heart, your deep-seated being, that creates your reality. And the scripture is saying that the moment you think in your heart, so are you. Your environment takes that place and shapes itself because of a deep-seated conviction. Now, you can believe in your head. If I asked you, how many of you here believe that you can raise, that God can raise a dead person? You put up your hand. You've been through church long enough. You know, you believe that God can raise a dead person, and indeed he can. But if I brought a dead person to you, at that point, we'll be able to tell whether it is actually a conviction in the heart. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. And conviction in the heart, at that point, does not mean that the dead person has to rise. Some people's conviction is shaken from the moment I bring the dead person. Just put them there, already shaken. Others, after 1, 2, 3 times, it hasn't worked, the conviction is shaken. Then there are those, after it has failed totally, you know, they start asking themselves, but are these things real? And you know that a person has an inbuilt steady conviction when even after something seems to have failed, you still believe in it. That's when you know this is actually a conviction. It's not just in your head. It's like when I pick someone out and I tell them you're going to get married. Okay? And you're a guy and you go, no. Second one, no. Third one, no. I've met people who say, but am I really supposed to get married? Maybe the Lord has actually chosen me to be what? Single. So they shift from their conviction because the outside has determined the state of their heart. I don't know if you get it. And so if circumstances can shake what is in you, it's not yet a conviction. It is still, praise the Lord. Like I read some stories, some of you know, some shooting in the US where some guy was killing Christians. He woke up, put a gun to your head and say, are you born again? Are you a Christian? And you see a person who has never been in front of a pulpit, in front of a congregation, at a pulpit, never quoted scriptures, but they say, yes, I believe. That thing was more than just in the mind. You understand? And yes, we're helped by God, but it's a deep-seated conviction. And so the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I discovered that a person can visualize. Seeing is very powerful. You can visualize, you can create through seeing. But if your heart contradicts what you're seeing, it won't manifest. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's another scripture linked to that that says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. It's a similar thing. It's saying that based on convictions that you have within your heart, you actually create certain scenarios in your life, consciously or unconsciously, because they are deep-seated. Praise the living God. Eh? So there are things that can happen in the life of a man, because as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, if that is true, and it is, that means you have to change the convictions of your heart towards a particular thing. Okay? And you see, here's the thing. This is how powerful it is. I can come, and your issue is that your business is failing. And by the Spirit of the Lord, I lay hands on you, And I speak a word and I say, by Tuesday, the business begins to prosper. And you're saying amen in front of all of us. And you're actually believing it with your mind. Huh? But when circumstances come, they shake that conviction. You see, and that's why they come. That's why they say, wage a good warfare. You understand? That is why they come. Not for how you're thinking, but the conviction in the heart. That's why when Jesus gave the parable of the sower, he said, when a word is given, it tries to grow, but it is choked up. There are things that actually choke up the sprouting of that particular thing within the confines of your heart. Okay? So, at many levels, you need to train yourself to realize that what you see in the physical is not what it's really supposed to be. It's drawn, there are things from a spiritual perspective that if you learn to posture yourself right, they would change every single thing in the confines of your environment. So I remember when I had an issue with rent, getting out of the house that I was staying with my parents at that time. And my issue at that time was the way that I was thinking. Because in my mind, I was waiting for someday a promotion to come that will allow me to get into a certain level of a house. You understand? Until I began to realize that I can go to that house before I go to it. I don't know if you understand. And so you cannot convince me. At that time, you could not convince me that I'm lacking a house. And finally, what was in me manifested that particular thing. So there are things in your life that come as a result of as you think in your heart. Then there are things that will come as a result, not just because they were created, but because they are drawn. There are things in your life that are drawn. They're not created. You don't envision them. Not your heart doesn't necessarily think them. They are drawn to you. Remember in scripture, the Bible says that Solomon, people came from all over. Okay? They came from all over. And he's not envisioning. He's not visualizing. Something in him was drawing people to him. Now, notice this, that while you can create and visualize things from a spiritual perspective, you can say, oh, I'll be flying first class. I'll be what? Well, you can do that. You, in essence, don't create people. You draw them. So you can't create a friend. Yeah? The friend already exists. You draw the person. So there are people around you that are drawn by what is in you. Okay? And you see, you see the part of scripture that says, Gentiles shall come to your light. They're not being visualized. It says, kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. They are coming to something in you. There are things that are drawn. That means, on the first part, the heart has a creative capacity. In the second part, the heart has a magnetic capacity. You see? And you see, that this second part, where you draw certain things in your life. Remember the Bible says that John the Baptist was in the wilderness and all of Israel went to where he was there. That is, there's something in the man that is drawing people to him. People would flock Jesus. Just come where he was. There is something about it where you're not, you see, and I will tell you, there are things actually you do not need to pray for. It is possible you're praying for something that you can draw. You see, I was telling someone that Jesus, when he was speaking, he said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened at you. And I explained to the person that portion of scripture is talking about a certain realms in prayer. But I told them that when you go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam was created in an environment where he had everything. So the place of asking was void. I don't know if you get what I'm understanding. Leaving the seeking and the knocking, which is an aspect of intimacy. And so the true element of asking actually came in after the fall. So now all of a sudden, you move from a place where there was abundance, and now you start, Lord, I need a husband. Did Adam pray for Eve? Now, I try to show you that within the confines of the Garden of Eden shows us what exactly life was supposed to be like. You're supposed to wake up and, there she is. Brother, say amen. There are things that prayer in its true sense was supposed to be a seeking and a knocking aspect. Okay? And that's why when you find that there are people who don't pray, but consciously or unconsciously, they're creating their reality. Non-believers. Because it's a law. As a man thinketh. There are people, because of certain aspects, they draw certain things in their lives, consciously or unconsciously. They're not praying. Meanwhile, you're praying for what? what they're drawing to. And that's why we're trying to get you to that place. Now, I'm not saying you don't pray to ask. You, everyone, take their level. Take it one step at a time. But the true element of prayer is to capture secrets and to get closer to God, to know His ways. So that these things here, this Kawan, that if I want a Range Rover 2024, huh? We're somewhere in the future. If you're still in the present, get behind me. Eh? But if you want a Range Rover 2024, huh? That you will know the certain posture that you will need. That as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I'm going to touch certain things as to explain how these things happen. So there's a function of the heart that creates a reality. There is a function that draws certain things. Now, when things are drawn, they're often drawn by atmospheres. Another word could be energy. Another word could be aura. But since some people might have a problem with those two words, let me say atmosphere. But they're in essence the same thing. Remember when Job said, the thing that I feared has now come upon me. Job 3, 25. He drew something that he did not want by an atmosphere that he had created around him. And this is extremely important because I have found it. That while there are aspects of finances that can be created, you can create environments where your business grows, money at a certain level is primarily drawn. Oh, I don't know if you're on the same page as me. There are finances that are drawn where a person is not praying. You understand? But somehow, let me give an example. 1 million just always comes to them, miraculously. And they, knowingly or unknowingly, they took on a certain posture in the spirit. And as long as they're there, there's a covenant with that level that 1 million will come. Whether you sow, whether you pray, whether they come and tell you, man, this is going to happen. Nah, it's a law. Then there's someone else. It's 4,000 shillings. Whether he prays, whether he's somehow 4,000. Huh? Always finds itself to him. Now, what I'm telling you is extremely important. That atmospheres, the aura of a person, at a certain level can draw certain things. There are functions you can do that, you know that what you honor is what you attract? You know that, eh? So, when you honor something in someone, it is drawn to you. You haven't prayed for it. You haven't tried to create it. It is drawn to you. That's why one time when I was telling you that the prodigal son made a mistake because he took the physical things and left behind the thing that drew those things. He would have gone to the father and said, lay hands. And gone with nothing physically, but they would have followed him. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So, atmosphere. So when someone has an aura, the thing that I feared has now befallen me. And you see, what I'm telling you seems Very, very simple. God never meant life to be complicated. You know where the world has its measures and its ways by which a person is supposed to prosper and succeed. And I said, you go to school, make sure you get this amount. I mean, you get this in class, go to campus. They have a set out process for you. And that process is fine because I went through it. Many of you here went through it. But there are levels of success that a man, it's almost like an iron ceiling. A man cannot cross unless a spirit aids them. And many of you know this. So I'm saying this for the people who don't know. That there are levels, even with your degree, your first class. I know first class people who are walking the streets. It's at that point they realized that when you have a first class degree and get a job, God has helped you. You understand? It's not the first class degree that helped you. Because there are people with first class degrees that don't have jobs. Are you getting me? And at every moment in life, that will be tested. Who is your God? There are some people, without knowing, rent is their God. I'm going to explain it. So you hear, you worship, you what? Huh? And you say, God, you can provide. Yeah. Then when it's time for rent to come and you don't have the money, rent dominates you. Now, here we always talk about dominion. You can never dominate physically without first dominating yourself internally. It's impossible. It's impossible. There is no physical dominion without some form of internal dominion. Because as a man, I think it's so easy. So you understand that whatever you fear dominates you. Whatever you what? So let me explain this in line with the drawing. Because you can be visualizing, envisioning day and night. And what you're doing is right in line with the spirit. But if the atmosphere around you is negative, it can choke what you're visualizing. It's the reason why I used to find people at speak. Laptops in front of them. Visualizing Mercedes Benz. It's 5 years down the road. They're still walking. What should you get a corona? But still walking. I'm just telling you why. There are things that can choke what you're trying to bring into reality. Atmospheres. So, for example, one time I took a friend of mine to a hotel here in Kampala. We were catching up. A friend from my old church days. Anglican church days. So this guy, I took him there and he asked me, how much is a soda here? I told him 6,000. 6,000! Now, I think you're paying 6,000 shillings for a soda. You understand? Now, at that point, remember what I said, what you fear dominates you. And so at his level, 6,000 is scaring him for a soda. And if it's scaring him, the day he needs it, it won't come. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. It will not come. And you see, because to him, 6,000 is not small. And because it's not small, money is a spirit. It is dominating him. At that level, children of God, you get what I'm saying. Huh? 6,000. And the reason why I said rent can dominate you, you shout, you believe, yeah, I say rent, rent, rent. Then the landlord knocks on the door. And fear begins to come. And you see, I need you to understand that as a result of a miracle, God can pay that rent. But as long as you still fear that amount of money, when you want, it's hard to call it. It doesn't submit to someone it controls. Ah. It cannot submit to someone it dominates. And we do this at levels. So every time there's a test, And I'm not just talking about in terms of giving in church, but I'm talking about naturally in life. Do you know, I'll use an example that I had, that even in ministry, if a man fears that people are going to leave his ministry, and he tries to control the people who are leaving, the ministry shrinks. Because the number is dominating him. And for a man to expand, he must dominate the thing that is in. I don't know if you understand it. So for some person out there, 1 million shillings comes because he has postured himself that this is little money. And the test of whether it's actually little or not, there are people who say, you know, I meet a lot of guys, Rabbi, when we talk about money, 1 billion is too little. And you know they talk, 1 billion. But the guy is shaking when there's rent of 300. And so, in his mind, 1 billion is little, But in the heart, he's below the 500. Because he fears it. This is how fear is one of the biggest insulators of the thing that you want. It's the biggest. And so you begin to grow it in levels. 1 million. The people have demonstrated some of the things, some of these things too. The Lord will tell me, you see that money you put aside. And you guys, you're lucky. You don't hear God. Or if you do, you who are at your level. When some of us, we know when he has talked. So you imagine you put aside your 7M. Huh? Then God says, well done. Now go give Sheila. Devil, I bind you. And you see, the thing is that at that point, when you give it, and I've demonstrated some of these things. I'm just giving 7 million as an example. You give it, it comes back. And I'm not just talking about the action or the speech. With the conviction of your heart that this money can come back. And you see, the Lord tests you at levels. And some of you know that everyone on the face of this earth, there's a particular amount of money that comes miraculously. To everyone. And you haven't prayed, you haven't waited. Somehow, it just comes. There are people, the other day I was with someone and said, Rabbi, I don't know why, I felt like I never have money for rent, but the rent always somehow gets paid. You understand it? But should the posture change to fear, even it will insulate where the miracle is coming, but it's being insulated by an atmosphere that is around you. And you see, demons feed on blood as well as energy. So depending on the potency of energy that is around you, you can attract both spiritually and naturally people. So there are dark energies and there are energies that are divine. An energy of love, an energy of and I'm going to show you, of hope, of faith, all those energies, all those atmospheres, they have things they draw without you praying. They do. That's why, if a person, for example, has mastered the art of visualizing money, but hatred and anger occupies their heart, they stifle the thing. And this is why I've told people that the fruits of the Spirit are actually more powerful than the gifts. Where someone oozes love, and because it's coming out, it draws certain things without them praying. It's not to everyone that kings come. Many of you know, because by now certain kings would have come to you. And so you have to go through certain protocols. But this fashion person, they're the best person in the country. I've tried to reach them. There are higher ways. Kings come to the brightness of your rising. Amen. That's why the scripture says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, it goes on to say, meditate upon it. Those things, children of God, they draw things without you actually having to pray for them. And so it's actually important to kill hate, anger, kill those things. We're all learning. Someone, and you see, that's the time when you're like, I'll try my best, that scripture, to be at peace with all men. Then that's the time. Some guy comes out of nowhere and tests you at that point. atmospheres, they draw certain things. And you see, which brings me to the third thing. Because the first one is your heart creates. Next one is that your heart draws. And the final one is you need to realize that there's manifestation as a result of transaction. There are things that you get not because you try to create them, not because they're drawn, but because you had a transaction in the spirit. And those are very deep realms. A person doesn't just wonder. It's impossible to sacrifice unconsciously. Consciousness. You must be conscious. There must be intent in the sacrifice. You know, the spirit world is moved by intent, both divine and demonic. Moved by intent. That's why I told you, you see, the Bible talks about your mind, that it needs to be renewed. But your heart doesn't need renewing. The Bible says that God just takes it out and puts a heart of flesh. No renewing there. The heart is so vital. It's so potent. The conviction that you have in your heart can be so deep seated that it swallows up everything else. And intent is so powerful that when it comes to spiritual transactions, your heart has to be there. And this is now when we talk about that, we talk about crossing into realms of finance and success that are unnatural. Where you look at someone who's worth, I'm giving an example, say worth $1 million, and from a spiritual perspective, as a man all by yourself, you tap into just these first two, you can get there. By yourself. But then, this place of a transaction, you must have access to a spirit. Now, the ideal is that these three realms, you master all of them. Because you see, at every point, the devil will come to someone and will ask for something. There are people, as many of you know, where the moment you're doing your music, you're a musician, or you're making your cake, or you're doing your stuff, your business is growing slowly. It's growing slowly. You even come testify, it's growing slowly. And inside you, your name is, you know that you're bigger than what you are, so you've postured yourself as you think, so are you in this world. You understand? And everything is working around you. Your Facebook ticks are coming, you know, people are liking. And someone comes, how are you doing it? Do you pray a lot? No, I don't pray. Consciously or unconsciously, you don't know you took a posture in your heart. And then suddenly, the way you treat people, the way, you know, it starts to draw specific people to you and say, did you sow? I didn't sow. You understand? But then there comes a place where now you're trying to transition into a particular realm. And either a man or a spirit shows up to you and tells you, choose now who you will serve. It happens to every person in sick realms of finances and success. It happens. I showed some guys a video of a rapper who they were interviewing, and they asked him, how did you get to where you are? And he said, oh, I met the devil. And the interviewer, you know, was like, oh, come on, seriously? You met the devil? He says, yes, he appeared to me. And the guy is laughing. But I could tell, this guy is not joking around. He says, he met the devil. And he says, and the devil is not how many of you think he is. A tail and what? And when he went into that, I was sealed. This guy knows it. He said, he changes form and is always very nice and kind and appears like the nicest person. And then he says, and he asked me for my soul. So a transaction at that level, where you get certain things because you've sacrificed certain, the highest of which is your soul. And even in the kingdom of God, he says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Paul is writing here to believers. So the offering yourself to God is not when you get born again. A living sacrifice is a constant process where you keep giving up stuff. And you see, it happens in three levels. You will give up at a certain point time, give up at a certain point energy. And energy here has to do with prayer. And give up at another point, substance. Most people like to focus on substance. The other ones are important. Then we go to now places where you either give your soul, you give yourself totally unto God. That's why Paul says it's no longer I who lives. Okay? And with every level of sacrifice, at that, the realms begin to rise. Now, quickly, you are meant to sit on a throne. You are meant to rule. All over this earth, there were people sitting on thrones who are ruling because they tapped into certain secrets, some of which I've told you now. Now, when I told you that you draw certain things and you have atmospheres, the Bible says, it says, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. So what it's saying, in essence, is that when these particular aspects are part of you, you tap into what is actually God's kingdom and you begin to expand. So, for example, the world is shaking, everything is falling apart, but you have peace. Because peace is the kingdom of God. And from a spiritual perspective, you begin to rule over your situation because its aim was to unnerve you. I don't know if you're with me, okay? Jesus would not have been able to calm the storm if he was not calm. Your outer world can only be manipulated by an inner world. That's why some time back I told you, if you move to a house of $2,000 and inside of you have not dominated $2,000, you will be back. Some of you know, because there are people who will argue with me, but then you'll ask them, where are you staying? Did you borrow money to pay that $2,000? Because the idea is that if you are at a realm, things come to you. This is a challenge that I'm giving you. A challenge that I'm giving you. That God has desired that when you sit on a throne, it begins to expand and people feel your influence. They feel your glory. And on a natural realm, on a natural plane, you can look like just some random guy who's walking. But the territories have been taken over because of a certain posture you have in the heart and certain things that you've learned to let go of. You've learned the art of transaction. And that one, I'll touch it in its fullness some other time. But we're still struggling with as you are in your heart. We're still struggling with that. They told me I'm ugly. Have you ever seen, I know friends who are in school, a guy, you look at him and you say, I know I'm not like 100, but this guy, I'm better than this guy. But you see, all the girls are with this guy. And you ask them, what are you seeing in this guy? And you know when you sit with the guy says, me, I believe I'm handsome. You understand? I believe it. You guys can say whatever. And it's a conviction in his heart. And people are just drawn. They're just drawn to him. Those deep-seated conviction. And the enemy comes to shake those things. So fear is a very, very big factor for many of us here. Many of us here. We have fear of perception. What will they think? And once you have that perception, men dominate you. You must die to the opinions of people. Die. Oh my God. That chick is not married and she's pregnant. That's not your business. It is not, unless you're going to go and help her. That is not your. The perception of people, what will they think? Some of us have a fear of the unknown. I'm going, the rabbi has told me I'm supposed to go to South Africa. But I don't know anyone there. I don't know, you know? Unknown, and that situation begins to dominate you. You go apply for visa, it doesn't even happen. That's why I told you there are some prophetic words that are drowned out by your posture, not by the man of God, who is false or true or what. Posture. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future. Will I be like this forever? The others are getting married. Others are having babies. Hey, mama, he has got a new car. Will I walk forever? Those things. You submit those things to you, and the elements of the earth begin to bow. They begin to bow. And you find that at every level, you are the testimony of God. Finally, I'll say this, that once you understand what I've said, and I pray that you do, you go back and listen to this. If you understand what I've said, you'd realize that one time I told you that there are things that thin the veil between the natural and the spiritual. There are songs that can thin the veil. Okay? Once you listen to them, that veil begins to be thin and you feel like there's an interaction between spirit and you. There are songs, there are timings. Last time I was talking about prayer. There are certain hours where the veil is thin. But when you are surrounding yourself with these atmospheres, love, faith, joy, the highest of which, by the way, is love, the most powerful, and it's just overshadowing you. Someone says something about you, you say, "Uncle," and you know you mean it. You mean it. You say, "God bless you." And they see you rise. See you rise. They try everything possible. I want you to take charge of your insecurities. Dominate them and let them not dominate you. This thing where your business has been in one place, then you start to fear customers are not coming. Then someone comes and starts taking your customers. And say, "You see, the Lord maybe has not called me to this." Do you know that at a certain level, whether something is in your purpose or not, that if you decide, that's how powerful man is, that if you're called to be a businessman, but decide that, you know what, I want to tap into the prophetic. You can call yourself prophet when you're actually not. But as time goes on, that atmosphere takes over. And you know, there are prophets that are made. Guys who weren't born prophets, but because of the pursuing of a thing, it falls on them. Then guys are like, "I'm a businessman. This guy was a businessman. Now did he start being a prophet?" That's how powerful you are. You can decide. And meanwhile, God will step and watch. And watch you. If you don't like what is around you, change it. So at your level, at every level, try. All of us, the people that I sit with, people who are in places I admire, everyone is always looking for the next level. Now ask yourself, what amount of money is small to you? Not in your head. Not in your head. In your heart, what amount is small? And be sure that what you've said, God has heard. And the test is coming right around, right around the corner. But at least you will know. You will know. This is how we will dominate. Praise the Lord. May these three be realms that you occupy. Let's pray in tongues.